Let's all say amen. As the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So it's our responsibility as Christians that gospel light that Paul talked about in verse 4, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that we shine that light in those hearts that are in darkness, that they may become Christians as we are. I want to thank all the brothers that have participated in our service thus far with the prayer that was offered, scripture that was read, songs that were sung. The Lord, those that facilitated, the one that facilitated in our communion and offering to the Lord. I want to thank all those brothers for availing themselves in the service. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for assembling with us via the conference call to worship God again in spirit and in truth. Our lesson will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 3, scripture that was read in your ears on this afternoon. Who has forsaken the right way? That's what Peter said. Which has forsaken the right way? And we want to talk about that on this afternoon, that we can encourage those that are Christians, but we also want to admonish those that are not Christians that there is a right way. Jeremiah realized it wasn't in him. As I like to say, Jeremiah chapter 10, Old Testament, verse 23, when Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." He knew that man was not able to direct himself. And so Jesus, when he gave his sermon on the mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, pointed toward that right way when he said to all, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," those that were listening, "and his righteousness." So Jesus pointed man, made a priority for man, and that was the right way, was the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to seek it first. And then when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So a person has to be born spiritually in order to see that which Jesus said to seek first. And we find that kingdom in Acts, coming to fruition in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, which is the kingdom of God, daily, such as to be saved." So if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, as was said in the prayer by Brother Winfrey, well, our desire, our hope is that one become a Christian. And I will share with you at the close of the message how one becomes a Christian, as I've given an overview of on this afternoon. But on this afternoon, again, as we find, thank Brother Brooks this morning, as he talked to us about the servant of the Most High God, and I share with him in the text that that should be the goal of every Christian, is to be a servant of the Most High God. But we have to find how to become a servant, how to be the servant in the Word of God. And so that's where we speak from this afternoon, as the Apostle Peter here writes to Christians about not leaving the right path or the way of the Lord. And so we want to pick up on this afternoon with verse 13, as we got our subject from last week. Hopefully you've been a student of the Bible and you're following along as we share Peter's letter to those that are Christians. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse is number 13, our subject for last week, he said, "And shall receive," talking about those false teachers, "and then those that follow them," he said, "and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So he's talking about those that live in pleasure, and they're doing those things in the daytime. He calls them spots and blemishes. Then he says, those same ones having eyes full of adultery, and that, notice he says, cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, those that are teaching this, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So when we follow the ways that are not right, we can become covetous in our practices, and they become cursed children. And then we get our title for this afternoon, which have forsaken the right way. I want to say that there is a way that is right, and we can leave or abandon the right way. And Peter said, and are going astray. He says, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The Bible said, but was rebuked. He was rebuked for his iniquity or sin. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So he says here, when he called it a dumb ass, a dumb meaning he cannot make sounds or voices of a human. He said, however, God allowed him or gave him that ass to be able to speak with man's voice to the madness or the behavior of the prophet. And so we want to know look at what were the wages of unrighteousness that Balaam committed. What is it? And if we want to share this as we talk to us, those of us that are Christians, what is it that he committed that were, Peter called them, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. But to do that, let us go back to Numbers, to look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter number 22. And I'll pick up, for the sake of getting the context, in verse number 9 of Numbers chapter 22. The Bible says to the prophet Balaam, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying. So we find here in the text that Balak sent men to Balaam, and he wanted to try to curse the children of Israel. And the Bible says that Balak said, behold, there is a people that's come out of Egypt, talking about the children of Israel, which covers the face of the earth. He said, come now, curse me them. Peradventure, perhaps I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And so now God said unto Balaam, verse number 12, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And again, we want to know that when you're a child of God, you're blessed when you become a Christian. You are blessed. As when the Old Testament and the New Testament, those that are children of God are called Christians. Those that have become Christians, members of the Lord's church, have been water baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. The Lord then, as I said in Acts 2:47, the Lord adds them to the church. And so we find that in this case, what was Balaam's sin that Peter brought out? In verse number 17, after they had sent those to Balaam, and he would not go with them. The Bible says that sometime even with the devil, and sometime even with ourselves, we'll find that we'll look in the text, that he sent more toward Balaam, that he will respond to him. And so in verse 17, the Bible says, "For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me, this people." The point that Peter was trying to make, and the point I want to make to those of us as Christians, be very careful that you don't allow something that is gained to distract your faithfulness to God. You know, this morning, Brother Brooks talked in Acts chapter 16 about those masters who were getting gain from the person, the damsel. And so sometimes when we have gain, that I'm talking to Christians now, you got to be careful that you don't allow the potential or the increase in gain. Sometimes we can allow gain to cause us not to worship God as consistently as we would. We can allow gain not to have us be faithful in our giving. We can allow gain or that which may be gained to distract us from being faithful to God. And so going back to Peter's letter to the Christians, Balaam allowed the wages of unrighteousness to distract him. And the Lord said through Peter, it was sin. And God used an ass to speak to him and to say to him what was wrong. And then we find, as we look back at Numbers 22:30, I want you to be able to see that the ass did speak to Balaam in Acts 22. And the verse number 30, the Bible says, "And the ass." And again, when we're talking about ass, an ass is a member of the horse family, the ancestor of the donkey. And I want to say this to those of the Christians. We can use words that are in the Word of God, even though man may use it pervertly, a man may use it profanely. We can still use the word because we know when we use it as Christians, as the Bible uses it, we're simply talking about an animal. The Bible says, "And the ass said unto Balaam, Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast written ever since I was thine until this day?" He said, "Was I ever wont, or have I ever done you wrong to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And so I want to say to those of us that are Christians, that ass that Balaam had that he was riding, I want to say to each of us to understand that the Word of God is that animal that Christians should be riding every day. Now, this ass told Balaam, "Was it not, had you not ridden me every day since you had me? Have I not done you right every day since you had?" He said, "Yet nay, you have done me, you have not done me wrong." And I want to say to those of us that are Christian, when we apply the Word of God, the Word of God will never do you wrong. You can't obey God and do wrong. The Word of God is that ass, is that animal, that if the Christian saddle himself up and get on that ass and ride the Word of God, the Word of God will be faithful to you as this animal was to Balaam, cause him no wrong. And actually, the Word of God can oftentimes spare our lives if our young people will listen more to the word of God and not to their friends. We'll talk about that in the text. They can sometimes save their lives. We're now seeing young people losing their lives because of decisions they're making, not following the right way. They have forsaken the right way. We raise up children. We do our best to lead them right, and they grow up, and some of them grow up in coming to worship service with us and never commit to obeying the Lord, never becoming a Christian. And the question is, what is it or why is it that they are not obeying the Lord? And I'm saying to parents, let us make sure their reason for not obeying is not because of us. It's not because we lived a hypocritical life before them, gave them no incentive, gave them no motivation to obey God to become a Christian. Because when we left the church building, they saw behaviors in us that was not consistent with the will of God, and they chose not to obey God for that reason. Let us be examples before them. Let us be examples that they see in us as parents a lifestyle that is consistent. Not that none of us are sinless, but we try to sin less, that we leave an example for our children that they have a yearning desire to want to obey the Lord, to become a Christian once they understand about Christianity and becoming a child of God. And so I want to encourage us that we do that and that our children not forsake the right way. And if they forsake the right way, they are doing it on their own accord, having been taught right by example and by word. And so we see here that, again, Balaam had an ass that he rode all the time, and that an ass also spared his life because he would have lost his life had he gone on. And I want to say to those of us that are Christians, the word of God sometimes can save our lives in the sense that it will keep us out of places we ought not be if we listen and follow the word of God. Let us go back to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to say to this, those of us that are challenged financially, those of us sometimes that the challenge is there to sometimes to not want to do right because of monetary pressure, because of monetary concerns and issues, I want you to always remember a word of the Lord where Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, he said, "But my God," Philippians 4:19, "but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We have to realize that whatever is necessary for the Christian, Paul said that God can supply that person with anything he must have. God can. We have to simply pray to God, and God allow God, I'll talk about that as we get to a close, how God allows his word to come down. But Peter, going back to Peter's letter, in verse number 17, Peter said, "These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." Talking about these false teachers. "For when they speak great swellings, words of vanity." Notice now, how is a Christian brought to sin? Peter says it. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So how are we brought to sin? Peter says, when it's the allurement through the lust of the flesh, when those things that are carnal, those things that are sinful, attract you and they are shown to you, and you are attracted, or it has an appealing with you. That's how Peter says you are lured through the lust of your flesh. He said, but those that remain clean, those that escape from this, they do not live in error as some. He said, while they promise them liberty, they themselves, notice Brother Brooks talk about the servants of the Most High, but these, when they live wrong and they teach wrong and you follow them, they are the servants of corruption, not the servants of the Most High, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought, he says, in bondage. We can find ourselves being controlled by the lust of the flesh, and we can be brought into bondage. He says, for if, now he's talking to every one of us right now, everybody that's a Christian, I'm talking to you in verse number 20 when we talk about forsaking the right way. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Peter says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Then he says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of, notice now, there's a way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He said, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to his wallowing in the mire of mud. That's what the picture that Peter painted. The Holy Spirit allowed Peter to share the picture that is painted when a Christian goes back out into the world. It is like, as Paul Peter said, a dog going back to that which he has brought up out of his mouth. And it's like you're cleaning up a pig. And you clean him up, and he's go back into the dirty filth of the mud. How does that happen? Peter said in verse 20, after they had escaped the pollutions of the world. The pollutions of the world, and each of us have them. Those are the weaknesses, the behaviors, or the habits of each of us that exercise ungodliness, and it can contaminate us. I can become a Christian, and I could have had issues with drinking, smoking, fornication, any of those things. That can be a weakness of mine. That behavior, those can become habits of mine. And if I'm not careful, I can become contaminated. And Peter says, the way that we escape that is through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say one thing to us. When I look at the word knowledge, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and then I'll answer this question about how do we stay right. In Luke chapter 1, and the verse is number 34, I want to focus on the word knowledge, which also means to know. To know. The Bible says in Luke 1:34, then said Mary unto the angel. When the angel told Mary that she was going to give birth in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, Luke 1:31, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Mary's response, that I want to encourage a Christian, Mary's response was to the angel. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I want to say to all of us, the word know in this context means a relationship. That's why the Bible says Adam knew Eve. They had a relationship and brought forth a son. And so I want to say to all of us that the word knowledge, the word know, means in order for us to escape the pollution of the world, Peter said we first did it when it was through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you have to have a relationship, not just to escape, but to stay escape, is my point. Go back to Peter. I'm saying to each of us, you have to have a relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is not something you just pick up when you have misfortune. It is something that you nurture every day. It's like a husband and wife. There's a relationship. Mary said, I have not had a relationship with no man. How is it that I'm going to become pregnant? And the angel had to tell her, this is of the Lord. And I want to encourage us. Each of us need to nurture every day our relationship with the Lord through the Word of God. Saddle up that animal. Get on the back and ride the Word of God every day in your life. So I close. What is the right way? And how does one establish what it is? Peter talked about forsaking the right way or leaving the right way. Well, there is a right way. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. And I want to establish that that way does not come from us. It is not in us. We have to go get it. Notice what the prophet Isaiah said, God said through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, and the verses, number 8, we want to talk about the right way and how does one establish what it is. God said, first of all, the Lord said in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Be careful when you think you know what's right and you have not consulted the Lord about what is right, what is the right way. Sometimes we, as Brother Books were talking, how sometimes people say, well, you know, I have to pray about that. I got a pray about that. Well, if you're going to pray about it, you still have to have a word from the Lord. There's no such thing as I'm going to pray about this thing. The Lord speaks to us through his word. You have to go find the thoughts and the ways of the Lord. Notice what the Lord said. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Think about the heavens. He said, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You be careful when you think in and of yourself that you are right about something. No, you have, when it comes to spiritual rightness, you have to consult the Lord. You have to consult the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, don't go back, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So the Lord said that my word is going to go forth. It will not come back to me void. It's going to accomplish what I please, and it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And the thing, in some cases, can be the heart of an individual. It's going to prosper in the heart of an individual that wants to do the will of God. When you find those that are seekers, then the word of God will prosper in their hearts. Sometimes we have family members and friends that are not seekers of the word of God, and the word of God will not prosper in them because they are not seeking the Lord. They are not seeking the Lord. There is a right way. Look in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 3. Mark chapter 1 and the verse is number 3. Mark 1 and verse number 3. Let me get there with you. I have to turn my Bible also to that. I want to read from the text. Even though I have notes, I want to read the text, what the Word of God says, that I'm not in error in my reading. The Bible says in Mark 1 and 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Notice what he said. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path right. And so what I want to say to us, is that there's a way of the Lord, and that way is straight, and that way is right. And I want to encourage us, and that's why Brother Brooks, we preach in the morning and the afternoon, that the word path is a track. And I want to say to the Christian, stay in your lane. There's a way. You know, it's like running around the track. And with those that have run track, those that are familiar with track, when you run a relay, you have to stay in your lane. When you're running that 4x1 or 400-meter relay, you have to stay in your lane all the way around. And I want to say to the Christian, when you see yourself stepping out, step back in. Look down to see where you're going. Look at your path. Don't forsake the right way. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane and do that which is right. And I want to say sometimes we can even know what is right. We can know what is right and still not do what is right. Go back to Numbers 22 and verse number 18. Numbers 22, I want to show you that Balaam knew what was right. Balaam knew the answer to the right way. Look at verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house, notice now, his house full of silver and gold. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And I want to encourage us, don't let money become your God. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We need money, material things, to live in this life. But again, don't let it become your God. And as Balaam said, what's the answer to the right way? Don't allow yourself to go beyond the word of the Lord our God to do less and to do more. And we live in a time when sometimes, even today, you know, we got this case going on. I want to tell you that even with God, law enforcement, I think me and Brother Whitaker shared this text. Him. Look, let me just share this with Luke, and I'm closing, about this case that we have about the George Floyd case. God has even spoken. God has even spoken to those law enforcement. Just look at the word of God. That's the right way. Notice what the Bible says. I started verse Luke 3:7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to baptize, to be baptized him, he said, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and bring not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth, notice now, good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. And the people asked him, saying, watch this now, what shall we do then? He answered the people. He answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has meat, let him do likewise. In other words, learn to be sharing of what you have, a gift to other people. Then the Bible says, came also the publican to be baptized. And he said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he responded to him, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And then there were soldiers, or those that were law enforcement. And the soldiers likewise demanded, I asked him, what shall we do? The answer to law enforcement is still in the word of God. He said unto them, notice the answer, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. And then he told them, and be content with your wages. The word of God said the first thing about those that are soldiers, those that are in authority, don't do violence to no man. Don't hurt nobody or harm nobody, physically, mentally, or otherwise. And secondly, if you're going to be in authority, don't accuse nobody falsely, and then be content. The answer to life is still found in the word of God. That's where the teaching starts. And if you want to do right, go to the Bible. The Bible answers all man's questions and not just those that we can't answer. So as I close, that's the right way. For the people, for the publican, for authority. Simply do what the Bible says. That's the right way. That's the way of the Lord. And so for those that are on the call and not a Christian, how does one become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, a child of God? In Romans chapter 6, we find that teaching. Romans chapter 6. Because right now you're in your sin. And Paul said to the Romans then, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul told them, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Christ died for sin. We have to die to sin. How do we do that? He answered in verse 3 and 4. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We die with Christ, and our sins are washed in water baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you obey the Lord, you heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe, knowing that Christ suffered for you on that cross. He died for you. Then you have to be obedient to Christ. You repent of your sin, turn to God, confess according to Acts 8:37 that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be water baptized for the remission of all your past sins, and then the Lord will add you to the only church that we can read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's someone today, you a visitor on the call, give us a contact, get in touch with, have the person that invited you on the call, to get in touch with our leadership, and we will make it a way that you are water baptized, forgiveness of your sin, you can be added to the church. I thank you this afternoon we are not trying to forsake the right way. There is a right way, and that way is doing the will of the Lord. Thank you very much.